morning.
Well, it's a good thing it's a short one.
It is.
The scripture reading today is from Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Bless the reading of today's lesson.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Lord, please increase my faith. I imagine that there isn't a single person in this room who hasn't prayed that prayer on at least one occasion. I imagine that we want more faith to see the ways that God is at work in our lives, but also in our world. We want more faith so that we know when really bad things happen to us, we don't suffer in vain. We want more faith to see that we are all connected to one another, despite our differences. Our scripture passage for this morning affirms that faith is indeed an essential part of following Jesus. But in kind of typical Lucan fashion, here Jesus tells us that we actually already have enough faith to do whatever is required of us. We don't need to pray for this superhuman reservoir of faith. God has already given us whatever we need to flourish in community. Faith, the size of a mustard seed, is sufficient for even the most demanding tasks of discipleship. This week, as I was reflecting on discipleship, I've come to realize that I think the most difficult part of discipleship is forgiveness. And when I say forgiveness, I mean stopping to feeling resentment towards someone who has hurt us. Forgiveness is difficult because it's hard to not be angry at someone who has hurt you. What's even more complicated is that sometimes we can think resentment is what will take the hurt of betrayal away, when really all it does is create a wound that never heals. If we don't forgive those who have hurt us, we will carry the weight of this resentment around with us forever. Jesus says that forgiveness is an essential part of discipleship because it is the only thing that will free us from past hurts. And because we can't live in community with one another without it. Last week, I was reminded of the importance of forgiveness when a good friend asked me to give the pastoral charge at her installation. A pastoral charge in an installation service is kind of like the best man's speech at a wedding. You want to keep it light and short, so you crack a few jokes at the new pastor's expense. But you also want to offer a few words of wisdom that the new pastor can hold on this wild ride that is parish ministry. As I reflected on what words of wisdom I wanted to offer my friend, I decided to charge her with loving the unlovable people in her ministry. As pastors, but I would also argue as disciples of Jesus, we are all tasked with loving unlovable people because we believe that Jesus loves the unlovable in us. All of us have unlovable parts to ourselves, and sometimes we behave in ways that are not lovable. If we're going to live in community with one another, those unlovable parts are bound to rise to the surface, particularly during times of stress. I told my friend, I wish I could tell you the call to discipleship is just to love the people you already admire and respect. But if that were the call, everyone would do it. No, the call is to love those who are different than you, who annoy you, who make you question if this is what you should be doing with your life in the first place. One thing I have to say is that my favorite thing about the church today is that it is just about the only institution left in our society where we are forced to interact with people who are different than us. People of all different political persuasions, ages, men, women, children, from different education levels, socioeconomic statuses, cultural heritages. All of us gathering in this space week in and week out. All of those differences are bound to cause conflict at some time or another. But the only way I've found that I'm able to engage with this conflict is when I take seriously the church's call to love even those who are hard to love in her ministry. I told my friend that this call includes loving those who vote differently than you do, who raise their children differently than you are raising yours. To love those who grew up in a different era than you did. Those who have maybe never heard of online banking, or those of us who have never sat down to balance a checkbook. The call, like Matthew says, is to love those who insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. I told my friend that the only way to love unlovable people is to stop resenting them, and that there is just no easy way to go about doing this. I believe when someone hurts you, it is only faith that allows you to forgive them. Faith that because of Jesus, no one exists outside of the possibility of restoration and redemption. Faith that if you turn this resentment over to Jesus, Jesus will free you of the pain this person caused you. Faith that the pain that this other person caused you is more about their pain than yours. I don't want to lie to you this morning. Forgiveness is never going to be easy. But I think perhaps it was designed this way. If it was easy, then Luke would not need to write an entire gospel account teaching us how to do this. You'll notice as you read Luke, which perhaps makes him different than the other gospel writers, that Luke makes faith as necessary for forgiveness as Matthew does for healing. Luke reminds us that forgiveness is an act of faith in God. It's how we participate in this faith. And we do this not by our own strength, but by the grace of the one who goes before us. We don't do it because we think we can change the past, but we do it so that we don't keep repeating the past in the future. I hope by now I've convinced you that this parable is not a question of whether or not one can have enough faith for the work of discipleship. This parable is actually about the work of forgiveness. just as a slave's duty is to do as he or she is ordered, so a disciple's duty is to forgive. An act that, in Luke's understanding of forgiveness, requires faith. A faith that we don't earn by our own merit, but that we receive as a gift from God. Faith isn't something that we work on, or that some people have and other people don't. Faith is a gift of God for the people of God. This is why Jesus says, even faith the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed will do. Because while we are asked to initiate forgiveness, we trust that it is God who actually does the work of forgiveness. It is God who brings about the restoration and redemption of humanity, not us. It is God who brings about hope for and the healing of creation, not us. We forgive others so that we don't get in the way of what God is already doing in our midst. I'm sure by now you know where this sermon is headed. I believe our parable for this morning invites us to reflect on who in our lives we need to forgive. And it challenges us to take the first baby step towards forgiveness. It challenges us that instead of waiting for more faith or for the other person to see the error of their ways and repent, that we give it a try, trusting that God has already given us everything we need. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.